Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can reach them at 485-5000, also at rileysguns.com, or just stop on in to their Hooksett Road location in Hooksett.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Well, Second Amendment Tuesdays as introed right here. I just love that song, Penny. Penny Dean joining us. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
That song I get more requests for. It's unbelievable. Who sings that? Who does that? Well, that's Steve Voss. And the name of the song is Come and Take It. You can find it at stevevoss.com, V-A-U-S.
Isn't that really cool?
I know. It's great. It tells you people are listening.
I think that's cool. And don't forget to tell them we're going to have a music surprise about a new song just to talk about another time.
That's right. Yes, we will.
It's very cool. So I want to talk about, for today, the legislative process a little bit about two particular bills that are going to be in subcommittees, because I think a lot of people don't really understand the mechanics of sometimes how a bill becomes a law.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand the work process. And I think that more and more light of day should be shed on what's happening in the general court. And people should see how their government works. And I think that it's good if people go down there and see it. And it also lets the general court, the House and the Senate, lets them know that pro-firearm people are watching what they do, that they want them to be accountable for what they do, and they want to really see what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. Now, this week, there are two pro-firearm bills that are going to be in what's called a subcommittee. And just so people know, a subcommittee is just what it said. It's a smaller committee cut from the committee, if you will, the particular committee. In this case, there's one criminal justice and public safety, and there's one, I always forget, they call it fish, game, and natural resources or some darn name. They've changed it a couple times. Or fish, game, and marine resources, I think. Anyway, these subcommittees are going to be hearing a couple of bills this week that are of interest to firearm owners. But what's really important, at least to me about them, is that subcommittees are public hearings, so the public has a right to be there. You have a right to bring your audio and video recorders. Now, you don't have a right to testify or speak like you would at a normal hearing. But here's the important thing. If you're present there and a particular representative recognizes you or knows that you may have some special expertise, they have a right to call on you and ask you to participate or contribute.
Hmm.
And so it's really important. Let's say you have a particular interest in a bill and you want to bring some handouts or some publications, or you want to bring some information to the committee. On any of the breaks, you can always ask one of the representatives, here, would you pass these out to the committee members, or rather subcommittee members, or, you know, I have this information, I'd like to tell you about it, maybe you'll let me present it to the subcommittee. And every so often you're able to do that, and it really matters sometimes and makes a difference in the recommendation that the subcommittee goes back to make to the whole committee. And so if you have a particularly controversial or even a complex bill, sometimes a subcommittee can go and work it through and come up with quite a bit of information to basically give to the committee, to say to the committee, look, you know, we've studied it, we've met with all these people, we've talked to this, this, and this person, and here's our recommendation. And obviously the committee is still always free to accept or reject the recommendation. But a lot of times, especially this term, we've had so many bills that they sometimes put them off in what I call smaller bites.
Uh-huh.
And so they do things like this. So, for example, today at 1 o'clock, they're having the work session for HB 536, which is constitutional carry. And it's an act relative to the natural right to carry firearms openly or concealed. And the bottom line is, at least from my perspective, there's a lot of good and a lot of bad in these type of bills. And the bottom line is that people can go in there and get a feel for how the legislature is going to be, or at least how the subcommittee is thinking of the bill, what they're thinking of, what they're looking for. And this particular bill, it's basically what I would call a stricter standard for issuing licenses. We've had some problems in this state, unfortunately, with certain licensees not adhering to the law. For example, some chiefs of police have taken the optional off the Social Security number part of your application.
Mm.
Others, you know, still, there was one particular town in this state that were demanding to inspect your firearms storage.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There was another town in the state who was demanding you give them a list of the make, model, and serial number of all the firearms in the house.
Ooh. Tisk, tisk.
Yeah. And so,
Johnny, put your hand out so I can slap it with a roller.
That's exactly right. Slap it really, really, really hard.
They're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And I know of one other town that they wanted you to give the letters of references up front before you can even put your application in for the pistol license.
Oh, you're kidding. That's a new one. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, is that town able to be named?
Sunapee.
Oh, wow.
And you can find it right on their website.
Okay.
At the town of Sunapee's website, go find the police department, and it's right there.
They still have it on there?
Last I checked it was, but that was a couple months ago.
Oh my God, I think they should be turned in. Because that's very naughty. You can't do that.
Well, who do you turn them into? What do you do?
You turn them into two things. First of all, in order for cops to be cops, they have to meet certain standards at police standards and training. And if they are not following the law, the question is, should their police officer certification be removed?
Oh.
I mean, that's a serious question.
Hmm.
You know, I think it's at least worth exploring.
All right, so we'll have to look into that. This segment of Second Amendment Tuesday is brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can reach them at 485-5000, rileysguns.com. Thank you for making this segment possible. But back to the subcommittee work, Penny, on these two bills here. This is where a good bit of the work can occur, can it?
It absolutely can. A lot of people go to the committee hearings because at the committee hearings, you know, we have the TV news, we have, you know, maybe the local newspapers, and everybody gets to testify and give their piece, if you will. Where subcommittee hearings are just what they would say they are. They're a smaller segment carved out of the committee.
These are often unreported on, too.
Absolutely, unreported on. You really have to work hard to find the notice for them. You have to know how to decipher the system. You have to look hard for notices. And more importantly, the public cannot speak there in general. What happens is that you have this small subcommittee meeting somewhere, and what happens is the members, they either can bring experts or people in that they want to testify before the committee. They can invite you to testify before the committee. Or you can just sit there. And I tell people they're public just like any other thing. They're properly noticed. You can bring your audio and video recording equipment and record the meeting. And you can sit there. And if you're a person they recognize or has expertise, any committee member can call on you to speak. You just cannot demand or expect to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really worthwhile because I think it shows a lot of interest in a particular bill. When a given group goes to subcommittee hearings, it tells the representatives or the senators that, gee, this particular group is really interested. You know, I mean, you're going as far as going to subcommittee hearings. And the other thing, and I always bring a video and audio recording, you'd be surprised what gets said at some of these subcommittee hearings. Some things good and some things not so nice.
Uh-huh.
And so it really puts what I call the light of day on the business of sausage making. And at least in this particular case, this afternoon, they're having a subcommittee hearing, which is scheduled for 1 o'clock on HB 536. And HB 536 is an act relative to the natural right to carry a firearm openly or concealed without a license. And this establishes a criminal penalty for the interference with the right to carry. Because what you have right now is even police officers who have unfairly harassed people for open carrying or detained them in the past, it's kind of a no harm, no foul thing. There's no penalty that attaches to them, yet all the penalties seem to attach to the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill also requires the director of the Division of State Police to negotiate and enter into agreements with other jurisdictions to recognize in those jurisdictions the validity of licenses to carry issued in this state. Because what this makes is an optional license to carry.
Gotcha.
And so it has a lot of interesting portions. And I tell people that is scheduled to be heard right now, I believe, that's heard before criminal justice and public safety. And it's probably going to be heard, it's in one of the subcommittees, and probably in the LOB 204 is usually where their hearings are. And so it's always important to scour the halls in advance and figure out, okay, where is this subcommittee meeting?
Yep.
And then the next one, which will be meeting on Wednesday, and that's meeting at 9 a.m., and it's HB 194. And that's also a retained bill. And this should be meeting in LOB 307. And it's before, I always screw up the name of that, which the committee, because they've changed it, Fish and Game and Marine Resources.
Okay.
And that bill is really of interest to a lot of people because it repeals RSA 2077, Roman numerals 2 through 4, which is relative to the prohibition on having or carrying in motor vehicles, off-road vehicles, snowmobiles, boats, or aircraft, crossbows, loaded rifles, or shotgun, or a rifle or shotgun with a cartridge in a magazine or clip attached to the gun. And that's really important because think about people with motor homes, with houseboats, or just with boats.
Yep.
You know, they want to be able to protect themselves as well. And when you think about boats, I know I, for one, really would feel more comfortable with a shotgun or a rifle in a boating situation. You know, because you've got some distance. It isn't like you've got the close quarters in general that you would in other situations.
Now someone's going to ask, well, gee, why do you have to have a loaded shotgun or rifle on a boat? Well, sport fishermen use it, actually.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They do. Shark fishermen do it. I know they do.
and
tell you firsthand.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly. Well, not only that, at least from my perspective, although we don't have what you call pirates here, there's always bad people. I mean, boats are very, very expensive. Some of the houseboats and some of the bigger boats are really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you always risk being raped, robbed, beaten, or having it stolen, the same thing as you do in many other areas.
And I'm thinking you're out camping, and you're in a motorhome, and you want to carry, you know, you want to have your loaded rifle and shotgun. And we're not talking about driving down Interstate 93. I'm talking about sitting at the campsite. You're telling me that that would be illegal to have, too?
Well, the way it is, there's what I call the nice police and the mean police.
Oh.
And if it weren't for the mean police, we wouldn't have to pass and change laws. But the mean police just take craziness. Because the other thing is, even if you are driving down the highway, if you have a motor home, do you want to load and unload your shotguns and rifles at every juncture, every time you stop? I mean, statistically speaking, the loading and unloading of firearms is the most dangerous part.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you think about it, and what do? You know, how many people, I know tons of people who have these big fancy motorhomes, okay? And sometimes one member of the family goes, you know what, you know, they pulled off in this rest stop for a few hours, I'll just get up and drive, I'm awake, and take us another 5 hours down the highway, right?
Right.
Does that person have to go through the whole thing and say, okay, which is loaded and which isn't loaded now?
Oh, goodness. Okay, I follow that.
Yeah, yep. I mean, that's just plain silly, but the other thing is, I look at it as we don't have it that often, but we do have road rage incidents, and we have things where people have run other people off the road. And, yeah. And what do you do and say? Oh, excuse me, can I load my shotgun first? You know, can we have a timeout? You know, it's kind of like, of course you want to carry it with rounds. It's the same way with your defensive firearm that you carry, your personal protection device on the street,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
I carry my firearms loaded with one in the chamber because, you know, when the bad guys come to you, can we have a timeout so I can load my gun?
Yeah.
Timeout. You know, they just don't recognize those darn timeout signals.
No, they don't. No. They're like, huh, what?
Give it
to me now.
Well, the other thing is snowmobiles, okay? I'm not an avid snowmobiler, but I've had a lot of friends who are avid snowmobilers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go snowmobiling without carrying your firearm that you carry for defensive use everywhere?
Right.
I mean, I personally kind of like my firearm.
They might tell you, well, you can carry your handgun with you.
Well, the problem is, you know, I'm not sure that you always can do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so that's always another issue.
Oh, great.
Yeah. You know, because here's the whole thing. New Hampshire RSA 2077 basically thinks that that you shouldn't be able to have a firearm with you. And the bottom line is, a lot of people carry short little shotguns, you know. A lot of people carry short barrel shotguns, and so are you forced to, again, in the winter, people in the winter are wearing thick clothing. Do you want to carry a 32 in the winter? You know, they've got 5 levels of coats on.
Yeah, good luck getting to it.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right.
Finding it, no less. Oh, gee, got lost in the fold of my, snow pants here against my jacket. Hold on a second, I'm still reaching for it. Where the heck did I put that thing? Oh, shoot, it fell out of my waist.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And there it goes in the snow, and what the heck are you going to do?
Right, right, exactly. Well, Penny, with that, we're out of time, so we got to move on here. But, certainly people, I think it's good advice. People need to follow these subcommittee hearings or what they'll call committee work sessions, in other words, too. So,
absolutely.
Because that's where a lot of the stuff goes on. But again, just to recap, this is not where public testimony is given. However, a legislator can call on somebody in the audience who they think has expertise on the topic to help guide them in what it is that they might be grappling with. So this is good stuff.
Absolutely. And if particularly if your senator or representative is in one of these sessions, you can see how they really act when they're allowed to discuss things among themselves.
Oh, exactly. Well, how do people get in touch with you, Penny?
230-9999.
All right. Well, Penny at pennydean.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you again.
Next week.
And thanks to Riley Sports Shop and Hooksett for making this segment possible. Visit them, 1575 Hooksett Road, 485-5000, rileysguns.com. Lots of convenient hours for you, Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 5, Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, 10 to 5. Bulldog Live continues on The Pulse.